Hello, and welcome to the Event Safety Podcast. I'm Danielle Hernandez, and I have my co-host today.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Honeycutt.
Brian is one of my favorite times of year. It is October, and it is I've got a skeleton that rides with me in my car. Yorick goes with me everywhere I go. My kids have to sit in the back seat. They are not thrilled about that, being teenagers. I've got a skeleton climbing my house. I've been seen wearing witch hats of various kinds, including safety cones, in some high-profile places. I love Halloween. It's an excuse to dress up. Like, I need an excuse. So we have a topic today that's all about spooky seasons. So, Brian, could you introduce our amazing guest today?
Thanks, Danielle. I'm excited about this one, too, and especially because of the personal history I have with our guest today. Our guest is Kim Scott. Kim is the Senior Director and General Manager with Universal Destinations and Experiences in Las Vegas, leading the team behind Horror Unleashed. Kim's career includes leadership roles with Cirque du Soleil, Enchant, and Intrigue shows, projects that really set the bar for immersive live entertainment. Kim's also served as treasurer and longtime board member with USITT and has helped guide education and industry standards through her work at UNLV and AVIXA. So Kim's built her career where creativity and safety go hand in hand. Kim, great to have you here, and what perfect timing to talk about Horror Unleashed.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to share how Universal Horror Unleashed is setting the bar and integrating themselves into the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas.
So it's like, I have so many questions. It's hard to find a place to start, but let's
just pick one. Let's do it.
So tell us just a little bit about your new project. Tell us about it. Like, if somebody knows nothing about it, what do they sell me on it?
You got it. So as you know, or you may not know, Universal Films, we are the original creators of horror. So going back to 1931 with Carl Laemmle, Universal Films started the horror genre. And what Universal Destinations and Experience has done is leaned into the iconic Halloween Horror Nights that they have at most of their parks worldwide. And what they identified is that the horror fans, such as yourself, they don't want this just September and October. They want to be immersed in horror 365 days a year. And so Universal built Universal Horror Unleashed here in Las Vegas. We are part of the Area 15 expansion in the terminals. And this is an opportunity for horror fans to really take a journey through the horror genres with our Monsters House, which are the classic films started back when Universal Films started the genres, moving through to our slasher films era of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the 1974 film version. Of course, as we travel through the experience, you meet The Exorcist, The Believer, the Blumhouse version, and really leaning into our partnership with Jason Blum and his iconic film studio. And then last but not least, our incredible IP of Scarecrow the Reaping. Now, being a farm girl from Nebraska, growing up on a farm, things happen in those cornfields, I'm going to be honest with you, and a lot happens in Scarecrow the Reaping. But within those four houses, they are all intertwined by our monsters, creatures, demons that you encounter throughout our cityscape, our dead storage area, paranormal activity, moving into then Jack's Bar. So being in Las Vegas, every theater has its headliner. We are no exception. Jack and Chance and their maniacs torture and terrorize our guests every night with their Jack and Chance show. And then it wouldn't be Vegas without the craft cocktails and the incredible culinary delights. I have a full service restaurant, Premier House, which is what it sounds like, and is another partnership with Blumhouse Productions, as well as our boiler bar. Think a boiler is really the heartbeat of the warehouse. It is keeping the entities contained within Warehouse 25. And then we have great bites along the way. I say that as in eating bites, not as in being bitten. Could be both ways. Who knows?
Could be either in this context.
But lots of craft cocktails. And what we know about our horror fans and our tourists in general, zero proof and mocktails are really popular right now. So we've put as much time and attention into that part of our menu as our alcoholic cocktails to join. So this is really create your own horror experience. It is an elevated experience, and it is something to be seen when you visit Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's a fantastic story that's put together. And you've spent a lot of time in your career in different spaces. You've moved between creative, operational, and educational roles. So how do all of those different perspectives come together for you with Horror Unleashed?
This was the first project that I have been on. Really, I started when the walls were just being taken vertical here in Las Vegas. I remember driving past Horror Unleashed to the airport for my final interview in Orlando and knowing that that was the opportunity I had to bring this horror to life, seeing those walls go up. In my experience with Cirque du Soleil, I was always brought in for enhancements, or when we would refresh a show, but never from the ground up. So, this was really bringing all of the experiences into one opportunity. Education for me is something that is always the through thread on everything that I do. Whether I'm educating senior leaders or that brand new hourly scare actor that just joined us, education and career development ascension, it's been a, it's a passion. And it is a strength in my leadership style. I really believe it's part of it is because I'm a mom and you're always educating. Even when they're grown and gone, you're still educating. But creativity for me was seeing what works in this town. More importantly, what's working in the genre. What are guests now within the world of live production, immersive entertainment looking for? And how do we bring that in? So many times productions launch already behind the eight ball. They're already behind in guest interaction. They're already behind in those touch points that the guests want to see. So something I did early on with my senior leadership team, when I hired them in October of last year, I said, I want you to lay out every touch point your department has with the guest. Lay out for me every touch point you have with your team members. And I need you to constantly refer back to that. Are we increasing that? Are we minimizing that? Is that still what we feel is relevant to ensure that we have engaged guests, which then provide an incredible immersive experience for our team members and our guests alike, which then will return a sound, reasonable investment for Comcast NBC Universal. So if my team members are happy, my guest will be engaged, and then so will Comcast. And then for me as an operation, as an operator, it's what that's really what I consider myself, an educator and an operator. It's about doing things differently and efficiently for the right reasons. I think many times companies get into trigger words. We get into the what are those happening fashionable words to use in the industry, rather than really looking at operations from a systematic perspective on have we brought the right people in to do the right jobs while providing them opportunities for growth and acceleration? Too many times companies get so vertical that they don't allow their team members to be able to, as I say, cross-pollinate. What other areas of interest could they lend their expertise? I don't know it all, but I know that my team does. And so, providing an opportunity, a collaboration roundtable, where with my senior leaders, we work the problems till we find the solutions, and everybody's voice in the room has input into the challenge that we need a solution for. And so, by bringing all three of those aspects where I have grown as a leader, I think is why Universal Horror Unleashed has the best leader that Kim Scott has ever been. And I hope I just keep getting better as I get older.
That's fantastic. Sounds like a pinnacle experience. my knowledge of haunt scare type events is that they really run the gamut in terms of infrastructure and training and setups. When you're training and educating all of your various crews and performers, what are some of the key things? I guess one of them is, you know, their day-to-day activities, but this is the event safety podcast. So that's really where we're framing that question is like, what are the key safety things that you are instilling in them right from the beginning, day one, welcome.
So safety is paramount at Universal. You can imagine being a juggernaut in the industry like Universal is, safety, environmental health, all are paramount in everything that we do. For me as a leader, coming from the background I have, life safety show critical. It's how I determine whether I open this building at 2 p.m. each day or not. One of the things that we talk about with the scare actors, with the guest service attendants, with our food and beverage team, is their mental health going into the day. It's my responsibility as a leader to ensure that they leave as happy and as healthy, if not more so, than how they showed up that day to clock in.
You can't see me emphatically nodding my head. Yay!
Right. Yeah. You know, life is tough out there. Everybody, you don't know what someone, the journey that they've gone through from their front door to our front door. And so if we can in any way elevate their day through the environment that we are creating here, that is my team's responsibility. That's my responsibility. So whether that's through well-being events, walking through the houses each night, letting them scare me. I know those scares are coming, but I want them to know that I appreciate it. In fact, on Monday of this week, I went in as a scare actor in our house for Scarecrow the Reaping. I wanted to experience the day in the life, getting my costume, putting on the makeup, putting on the hood, going into the mask, dealing with the guests and the atmospherics so that I can better understand and relate. Having been a performer for 20 years of the first part of my life, I understand the stage. I have never been a scare actor, so I wanted to feel that. Some of the things that our scare actors deal with are our guest reaction. Some guests don't mean it, but when you get scared, what do? You might throw up your hands. You might slap somebody. You might throw a punch. You say the proverbial words that should not come out of your mouth. We'll just beep that out on the podcast. So we work with the scare actors in something we call scare school. We do a boo and skidoo training.
Wait. Boo and skidoo?
Boo and skidoo. So what that means is, when you get that scare and you jump out, you hit the guest, you hit your trigger, you scare them, get back. Because people like me throw up our hands. And inadvertently, sometimes our scare actors do get hit. And we take that extremely seriously. We have a safety plan. We have security protocols. They know to launch the X so that we can get security there and get them out of harm's way. So we do training with them periodically. How do you go in for the scare? And I know you may want to stay out there and relish the moment. I need you to step back. I need you to put that forearm up. I need you to go into the safety of your boo hole. So through daily safety walks from our technical and show team, my entertainment director, myself, we continue to reiterate those safety precautions during those pre-shifts to keep them safe in what they're doing. We also let our guests know before they come in our building at several touch points, do not touch my demons, my monsters, my gremlins. You know, we will then ensure you're escorted out of this building. So we do a lot to keep our team members safe from a bodily perspective, from a mental perspective. And right now, how do we alleviate that when they come off set to make sure they have a breath between before going back on?
So Kim, you actually hit a lot of things there. I mean, one of the things that we talk so much about is psychological safety being such an important part of safety. And the show that you're running every single night is in that emotional boundary space by design. Tell us a little bit more about how you work that, how you deal with those things, and how that changes the reactions with that close guest interaction, which doesn't exist in anywhere else other than this type of industry. Typically, we separate performers and audience. Typically, we have atmospherics on the stage that don't go into the audience. But in the space that you're in, the atmospherics, the audience, the actors, they're all in one space. How do you create balance in that kind of environment?
It has been one of my greatest challenges to ensure the safety of our artists as well as our guests. So the guests are also walking through these atmospherics, and they may be blind coming around the corner to an artist that is purposely going to scare them. So we take a lot of time to work with the artist in their what we call boo holes. So when they're coming out to get you, padding, fatigue mats. Did we cast the right size artist for the boo hole, or do I have a 6-foot mummy trying to get down into a 5-foot boo hole? So working with our technical and show department to ensure that those meet the needs of each other, the artists have what they need, the creative team has the effect that they need, the guest will be safe walking through it, and we can still create this horrifyingly immersive yet almost kind of fun experience. We're not out for the complete blood and gore. We get to that in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But for the Monsters House, it's the reverence almost in our history. And you get this opportunity to walk through the Monsters House. You are walking through the history of Universal Films. So we do, as I had mentioned, fatigue mats, trigger placement. So as our guests are using, our artists are using these triggers to generate sounds, lights, maybe some water effects to scare our guests, where that placement happens is important. And then how do we change the placement for ergonomical safety so that the fatigue on the artist's body can be minimized? Something that we do is warming up the artist before they go on set. Scare actors may not be the same discipline as a dancer per se. So having been a former dancer, the amount of warm-up that we do is paramount for being able to perform, to execute at the level we want to execute. And then as we got older, we needed a little bit more warm-up. So gone are the days of, 16, when I could walk off a plane, do two shows back-to-back, get back on a plane without cooling down. And I'm now feeling it in my act three of my life, as I call it. So we do have a physical services team here on site that works with the scare actors on basic warm-up protocol. We give each house basic warm-ups. We ask them to do more as they need it. And then trying to get them to cool down again is difficult when they're young and excited. So there is a lot, Brian, that's in that 365, looking at it from a technical perspective, safety foam, fatigue mats, trigger placement, size of the boo holes. Can they easily get in and out of their area? Lighting back a house. So if our artists need to leave that boo hole and get to security because they are having an issue, how do they safely get from point A to B? And of course, stage management. We have an incredible stage management team that is walking the house to make sure the artists are set before we let the guests in, closing the house, making sure each artist is relieved from their area to go on to their break. So it is taking a team to lead this horror that we have created here at Universal.
So I have a couple of follow-up questions. One is, can you explain exactly what a boo hole is in case there's somebody hasn't a good
sure.
idea?
So as you're walking through our mazes or through the cityscape in general, we call it the warehouse. So Universal Horror Unleashed is contained in Warehouse 25. You are, as a guest, specifically going to be interacted by artist that you cannot see. It is the jump scare. And so those are masked by drapes and or moss and or different obstacles to, I guess, block your line of vision and or get you with a scare. Most of the scares in the human body are generated by the sensory of sound. But the other sensory that is our most known that holds memories for us, as we all know, is smell. So within Warehouse 25, you will also experience some not pleasant smells. And so those are all done systematically by our entertainment and creative team to invoke a reaction from the guest walking through. So a boo hole is where the artist is going to come out, scare you, and get back in safely to provide a barrier to get you to keep moving through the maze or experience.
That's so cool. Okay. For Horror Unleashed, this is a 21 plus experience, correct?
It is not.
It is not. Okay. I misread something on the website.
we recommend for 14 and above.
Okay.
However, it is parental discretion. As you all know, when I first went to Halloween Horror Nights last year, when I started with this incredible company, I saw strollers going through those mazes. Who am I to judge, right? so we leave the parental responsibility to the parents. But it is, we recommend 14 and above, but I have had all aspects, all ages come through with families to see and experience UHU.
Fantastic. Okay. So that was actually my point, is that many times these things are for our families or people with really small kids or medium-sized kids or the pack of what I find the hardest group age group is the 10 to 13 year olds are the hardest group to wrangle.
Yes. And we have some really incredible themed immersive experiences within Universal Horror Unleashed. So if they simply want to walk through and enjoy and be more of a voyeur or grab a light bite and sit down and enjoy the stage show, they can be separated as well in our immersive areas. So they don't necessarily need to go in full head on. This is really create your own horror experience. How much do you want? Yeah.
So let's say I decide that I'm going to set one up on myself. And, you know, there are so many different kinds. There's the haunted hayride. There's the walk in the woods. There's the ones in the buildings. There's the ones that are purpose-built structures of tunnels and mazes. And then there's kind of like yours that are built inside, contained in another structure. I don't know where to start. What do I start with? Do I start with a story? Do I start with the safety stuff? Because I'm a safety geek. Do I start with design? Where do I begin?
I would suggest you begin with your compliance standards. Where are you building this at? Right? Let's go way back. What city are you in? What county are you in? What restrictions do you have? Clark County here in Las Vegas has some of the highest fire safety standards in the United States. So that was different for our creative teams to build here versus what we may, build in another locality. So first start with your compliance. What can you do? Meet with your city officials. Ask them first. We are looking at doing X. What are their constraints? What are your concerns? What have you learned from other companies that have failed in doing this? Who have you had to shut down and why? So first, it's safety, your guest safety and your team member safety. Because if they're not safe when they come to work, if they don't have a safe place to park, does public transportation help get them to and from your location? Not everybody has a car. We have some very environmentally conscious team members that use public transportation. So I am currently working with Area 15 to get Las Vegas to add a closer bus transit stop to our area. That takes time. There are so many factors that go into that. But I would say work with your city and county officials first. Choose a location that provides easy transport to and from for your team members. Don't assume that they have cars and that they can drive. And then next, go into what is your budget? Be smart about this and ensure that you're creating something for all guests. What I've seen in the past when companies create these pop-up experiences, can all of our guests that require mobility access utilize your venue? Do you offer locations for guests that need service animals? I've mainly seen service animals here at Horror Unleashed. What accommodations are you making for them? Do you have a facility and availability for those service dogs, animals to be accommodated? And so make sure that you're building something for everyone. We are in it. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to tell everybody, it's like what you couldn't hear is Brian and I just nodding so like our necks are going to hurt later.
You need to build something for everyone to enjoy or be, in this case, horrified or scared, and start with that. And I would say lean into the community that's around you. Also get their buy-in. Area 15 has done a great job of mitigating and working with the communities, the homes that are around the Area 15 and the terminals expansion to ensure that the community agrees with and is comfortable with the amount of traffic that will be coming in and what is the benefit for them. And that's something that Universal takes extremely seriously and did a lot of groundwork with the community here to ensure that we were accommodating all of our community members, not just those that had cars and could drive to get here.
Yeah, Kim, you've touched on some great things there. You know, just as you're talking, I'm making notes of all of the concepts that we talk so much about with the Event Safety Alliance. I mean, we're talking ADA compliance, scalability, sustainability, community, psychological safety, and Zone X impact. You know, what are the things beyond the walls that we are responsible for and how those things go out? But especially, you know, where we started with talking about the involvement with our public safety officials, looking at codes and standards. Absolutely, codes and standards are something we're incredibly passionate about. So my question next is, how do you protect the creativity from being overshadowed when you're looking at compliance? And how do you look at that and balance the creativity, keeping everybody safe, and meeting those codes and standards at the same time?
For us at Universal, we have an incredibly talented, seasoned team to ensure we have done our due diligence as a leader in this industry. How do you do that when you're not Universal? You're members of organizations like the Event Safety Alliance. You look at the ESTA standards. You look at ANSI standards. You look at these free publications that organizations like the Event Safety Alliance offer to their members. You become a mentor yourself. Brian, you're one of the biggest mentors in this industry that I know. And while you have your consulting business, I also know that you do a ton of free consulting. So for people like us that are leaders in this industry that understand these safety standards, be a mentor, share your knowledge, grow the next generation of safety leaders in our industry. So when you see a struggling, you know, scare haunted house going up in your local shopping mall parking lot, offer your services. Because at the end of the day, those actors and those team members, they're a part of our industry. They're our family. They're live production individuals that are working, that are enjoying their art, that are working to pay their bills like we all are, and offering them a step up is the responsibility of all of us who are viewed as leaders in this industry. It needs to be paid forward and then some. So utilize your free resources. Many of the city officials will offer their time. Yes, those business licenses cost money. Do not get your business license. Do it the right way. Do it the smart way because you have a responsibility to the people that are working with you. And I do believe that you can apply for grants and you can apply for offsets to those business licenses. For me, I make friends with my fire inspectors. I know our fire inspectors at every show I've ever run because they're here to be my resource. They are my colleagues. They are looking out not only for me, but for that on-call scare actor who may only come in once a week to ensure that I'm running the safest building possible. They are not your enemies. They are your allies, and utilize them as such.
Yeah, I love that we all have the same goals. We just approach it from different ways, and building that partnership makes
you
both better.
We all have the same structure. We just have different budgets. So when people ask me, how do you do this? Universal at its core is just like that haunted house going into the mall. We are just doing it at a different scale and a different budget. But the fundamentals are the same. You put your people first. You do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. You don't skip corners when it comes to life safety show critical elements because you have a right and you have a responsibility to ensure that your team members are safe throughout the entire journey of their experience while working with you.
So, Kim, I'm going to keep you in that same mentorship and teaching philosophy when we look at where we're going next. So you've spent years with the USITT, United States Institute for Theater Technology, if folks aren't familiar, and with UNLV, shaping education in our field. With that mindset, with that experience, with all of the experiences you've had, what do you see as the next frontier for developing safety-minded, creative professionals?
So safety, specifically OSHA, as you know, Brian, some 20 years ago, I began the journey with OSHA to create an OSHA 10 entertainment technician program. That eventually now I just dated myself, didn't I? Years later, that ball is rolling. What I found when I was with Cirque du Soleil, and Cirque was one of the first companies to mandate the OSHA 10 and 30 program ahead of Nevada, making it a requirement. In Nevada, it is a state requirement. If you work in the entertainment technician field, you must carry a 10 or a 30. We were ahead of that game. My name was Mud in the company at the time. I was just ahead of my game, but that's okay. University programs, that needs to be a fundamental core requirement. It shouldn't be a afterthought, but safety in how technicians and artists view their role in a live production immersive experience should be a collaborative class. What I find is we focus solely on technicians doing it, and I see more universities now bringing the OSHA classes into their curriculum, which is great. However, it's not enough. OSHA is the bare minimum. Universities need to do more, educate more. There's so much else that we need to do above that. The parallel to that are artists. Artists need to own their responsibility in the safe operating of any live theatrical production, immersive film, TV experience. And for so many years, the artists were isolated from that. We wanted the artists to be artists. Well, that's great. We want the artists to go home safely. So when we started at Cirque to cross-train artists to help them understand the basic fundamentals of what does a follow spot operator go through? And so when you don't hit that mark and you decide to improv that night, what is that poor follow spot operator trying to do? We really began to gain traction on artists understanding what role they played in their life safety, show critical elements from an equipment perspective to their own execution perspective of the act. So I would like to see USITT, LDI, you know, Infocom, ESTA, IAPA, all of these conferences putting more of an emphasis on artist safety and their responsibility. It's not a technician's responsibility to keep me safe. It is a technician's responsibility and my understanding of what I am doing, and we partner to keep each other safe.
That's beautiful.
So I'd like to see more of that. I haven't seen the breakthrough in the BFA programs yet, requiring artists, dancers to do that. But I haven't been looking. Maybe some programs are doing that, and I'd love to know more if they are.
Yeah. Also, the limitations of OSHA, as you said, it's a bare minimum, but it also only applies to people that are getting a paycheck. And it leaves us with crowd management just out in the wind, because those people are not, that doesn't apply to them. But the life safety code does, and I would love for us to teach that sort of thing too, which is where I'm going next.
Okay.
So let's talk about our crowds.
Sure.
With your permission, I would love to talk about some of your emergency plans. So, you know, I run a theater. The exits are clearly marked at all times and the paths are relatively straight. A haunted attraction is very different from that. And what are the considerations you have for when you make evacuations plans? So let's say you had to evacuate the entire warehouse. I mean, I cannot imagine where you start. Where would you start?
So we started with our city and county officials, right? All
of
those
a great
plans
place.
Have to be, I go back to what I said, start with the officials, because they are a great resource. Again, don't look at your city and county officials as, you know, as the bully. They are there to ensure that when something happens, it's not if, it is when it happens, you are prepared and so are your team. So we have extensive illuminated exit signs throughout our entire building, throughout the mazes. Creative understands that why that illuminated exit sign may not give the best impression as you're going in to experience one of our horrifying demons. It is a necessary evil. Get how I tied that in? But to the safety of our guests and our team members. So we follow the same requirements by our fire inspector, as well as the city officials on all evacuation matters. We have monthly tests. We have weekly tests. We have monthly fire evacuation walks. We follow those. They are not known to the team members, much to their chagrin. I do alert fire so that they are aware when I trigger the alarm. It is not an actual fire, but we do work with our battalions and that the firehouses that are closest to us. We do want them to come down. We have them come down. I had our house, the battalion chief, bring his team down, and we sent those very bad, big 20 firemen through our houses, and they screamed like you wouldn't believe. But it was about building that relationship with them as well. So they know this building inside and out. They know the roof access. They know our stairwell access. They know every intricacy of this building, because when I need them to know this building as well as I do. We're going to be doing an exercise with MTAC here, our Metropolitan Tactical Team, and they're going to be coming in and doing some active training. We volunteered our building, again, building that community relationship with them so that in the event something does happen here, they know this building as well as we do, and building those community partnerships. So the first thing that our team members do, congratulations, welcome to Universal Horror Unleashed. You're going to go through orientation. Now you're going to go through your environmental health and safety training, and you're going to go through that extensive training to understand. We have a safety committee team here that is not comprised of me. I do not sit on that committee. It is not for me to lead. It is for me to hear and listen. And so that is comprised of 12 of our team members across the show. It is led by our EHS manager. And then those notes are given to me as really a debrief. Here is what we're finding. Here is what we're seeing. Here is what we would like to see leadership do and enact. And so through practice, through repetition, through pre-shift notes, We continue to reiterate the safety and ensure that our exits are clear and unobstructed, and that our community partners, such as Fire and Metro, know this building as well as we do.
Are your performers, do they act as crowd managers in a case of that? Or is there another team that is specifically dedicated to crowd management that comes in and changes
Sure.
the tone?
So in the event that we would need to do an evacuation while fully
operational,
say it, fully operational, right? It's 6 o'clock. People are having a great time. Here we go. The alarm goes off. Then our protocol with our internal and external security teams that are on site have their zones in which they are responsible for evacuating. Team members are to get themselves out of the building to their muster locations and grab a guest along the way. If you see somebody that needs to get out, see somebody, say something, let them know you're going to escort them. At that time, artists are permitted to break character and necessary where they can, when they can, remove any masks so that our leadership, our Fire and Metro teams can easily identify who are our team members, our guests, versus who may be a nefarious actor that we have called them in to handle. So I don't want to go into that any further
to ensure
that the safety of our protocols for people. But it is get yourself out, grab somebody along the way, and our security team has done a great job with that.
Awesome. Get out, bring your new friends. Everyone
bring
you meet
your
is your new
friends.
They're your new friends.
That's right.
So I would imagine that the most common incidents are always going to be some sort of medical. Do you have medical on site? Do you recommend that people doing the smaller ones in the parking lots have some sort of medical on site? I'm assuming
Absolutely.
You guys have medical on site.
We do. So we have an internal and an external team. For our internal team, we will do what we can from a first aid level. In the event we need to, we trigger 911 to our EMTs. We do not take any situation too lightly, and we would prefer to ensure that our team members are handled accordingly at that level. If you're going to set something up in a parking lot or in a mall, make that community connection. Find out who is your closest first responder team, whether that's the fire department that will also act as your EMT, or you may, as we do in Las Vegas, you have the fire team, you also have a secondary third party EMT ambulance that will respond. Invite them out. Let them know before you open. Have them walk the property with you. Walk with them. Where does the ambulance arrive? Where does it park? Where will you transfer care? So for us, if we have an incident in one of our houses, where is the closest point of egress to transfer care to the EMT, to the ambulance or fire? So you need to practice. You need to go through some drills with them. Set aside a good day to bring fire out, find out where the trucks are going to park, bring your ambulance team out. Where do they need to park to minimize guest impact, but maximize the guest care?
Amazing. So we are running out of time. I can think of about 1,000 more questions. This has been amazing. But I'm going to do a quick housekeeping. Y'all, if you want to reach out to us, email is podcast@eventsafetyalliance.org. Both Brian and I and a few other members of the ESA will be at Event Safety Alliance Canada's upcoming conference. So feel free to connect with us there. We would love to see you. You can always see breaking news at our website or on social media. And we would love to engage with you on any of those things.
And Kim, before we go, I just want to say thank you for being with us today. Your career really highlights how standards and creativity can coexist and even elevate one another. Just a few closing questions. What advice would you give someone that is trying to build an experience that is both daring and responsibly run?
Reach out to Brian Honeycutt at Event Safety Alliance. Honestly, We have a responsibility as leaders to do things the right way because it's the right thing to do. And profit margins, while important to sustain a business unit, cannot be the only reason why we do something. We have a responsibility to the human beings that we have entrusted us, that said yes to the job. So the first thing I do when I welcome my new orientation, you know, my new team members in orientation, I thank them for choosing us. At Universal Horror Unleashed, my responsibility is to be an employer of choice and a leader of choice in this market. And you cannot do that if you're not putting safety and team members first before profits and execution. They can coexist. We do it right here. And we're proof that it's not an easy journey. I'm not saying that you're not going to have those knockdown, drag out team member meetings, but when it's done coming from the lens of collaboration and coexisting and doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do for your team members, you're going to create an incredible product that your team is going to be 100% behind, and the guests are going to feel that when they come in the door. So put safety first. Build your experience with safety at the ground, and then everything else around that, you're going to spend a lot less money because you're not having to rebuild stuff that won't pass code.
Fantastic.
So do it the right way the first time.
And where can we send listeners to learn more about Horror Unleashed or follow your work with Universal?
Absolutely. So you can join us at universalhorrorunleashed.com and then find me on LinkedIn at Kim Scott Las Vegas.
Thank you again, Kim, for being with us today. And to everybody listening, I just want to point out that the best scares are the ones built on trust. Kim has shown us how people can experience fear without being afraid and given us a lot of great insight and things to think about. So thank you all for being with us. Kim, thank you once again for being a wonderful mentor, leader, and friend.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Brian. Stay safe, everybody.